I'm Dean Murdoch, and this is Amazing Places. Welcome to another episode of Amazing Places. Today I wanted to talk to you about Panama Flats. So, you may not be familiar with this property. It's located in Saanich, just off of Carey Road. It's an old farm property, but it hasn't been farmed in at least a decade, maybe a little bit longer. Saanich bought the property in 2011 with the intent of using it for floodplain, but also to put it into food production. For a number of reasons over the course of the last 10 years, not much has happened with Panama Flats, and its floodplain has turned the property into more of a wetland and nature preserve, which is exactly what the area residents are now calling for. The issue came to a head at a recent Saanich Council meeting, in which Council was asked to make a decision about how best to proceed. The current plan calls for inclusion of more of the property into the Agricultural Land Reserve, which would mean continuing a protracted process with the Agricultural Land Commission, an application which has been rejected twice by the Land Commission. At the same time, the Residents Association is calling on Council to halt the application process and revert the property to wetland preserve. Others are saying that while large-scale commercial farming probably isn't possible or practical on the site, that we shouldn't close the door on farming. I would probably count myself among those folks. In fact, in the early days of Panama Flats being acquired by Saanich, I encouraged Council to transfer the property to a farmland trust, which would be an arm's-length society that was responsible for the management of farmland to create the availability of growing space for new farmers who couldn't otherwise afford to get onto productive lands. It now seems like a farmland trust may not be the most viable option for Panama Flats, particularly as it relates to concerns that the neighbors have that there could be potential for conflict of uses, and they'd want to be able to take those up with Saanich and not a farmland trust that doesn't exist yet. I'll concede the point. I think that a farmland trust might not be the best thing to try out on Panama Flats as a first step, but I don't think we need to close the door on farming altogether. Today I wanted to bring in a couple of folks who have probably divergent opinions about how this property can be used, but I don't think that their differences are irreconcilable. In fact, I think based on Council's recent decision, we may even have an opportunity to come to consensus about how the land gets used. So, let's talk to our guests. Today we're going to talk to the president of the Residents Association of Strawberry Vale, Marigold, and Glanford, Hollis Hodson, but first we're going to check in with Linda Gagey, who's the chair of the Capital Region Agricultural and Food Initiatives Roundtable. Hi, Linda.
Hi there. Nice to be here today, Dean. You can call it CR Fair. That's a little bit easier. It's not quite the mouthful.
Well, I appreciate that. It flows off the tongue a little bit more easily. So, Linda, before we get into Panama Flats, why don't you tell us a little bit about CR Fair?
Sure. CR Fair has been around for over two decades in the region, and it really started as a roundtable of folks who were concerned about food. And they came from many different perspectives, whether it was making sure that all people in our region were fed and had access to healthy food, whether the food that was on our plates was being produced in ways that were sustainable and just. We started to see people concerned about climate change, and they were coming to the table. And really the first years were just learning a lot about food systems and what the challenges and issues were, and then how we wanted to come together as a community to address these challenges before us. And it saw engagement from a wide range of folks, you know, from decision makers, counselors, planners, to academics and researchers, to the faith-based communities, the farm community, backyard growers, and then the community supporting agencies. And that includes all from the, you know, community gardens all the way to emergency food provision. So we've been, as I said, around for a couple of decades, and the network has gone from a small round table of about 15 folks sitting around the table to over 2,000 people that have now make up the Good Food Network. So food is increasingly right front and center for people. Understand the pandemic really highlighted the challenges with our current food system. We know climate change has really also put food front and center, and all the concerns related to food and health. That's a real motivating factor for people to learn and want to have healthier and sustainable food. So we're a network of folks who have come up with Good Food 2025. It's a long-term strategy to try and create more just, sustainable, and healthy food systems in the region.
Now, you and I have known each other a long time at this point, and we had many discussions in my time when I was on Saanich Council, and particularly when I was with the Healthy Saanich Advisory Committee and the Environment Committee. We talked back and forth quite a bit about the development of what we were calling at that time the Farmlands Trust, and I know that since that's been with the regional district, it's evolved into a food lands trust, incorporated a little more broad mandate. And so maybe as a way to kind of frame the expectations around the use of Panama Flats, could you talk a little bit about what the Farmlands Trust was intended to be and where things are going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of discussion about what to do around the rising cost of land and the fact that farmland in and around the capital region is really well out of the price range of folks trying to get into farming. And this coupled with the fact that about half of our farmers will retire in the next decade, certainly looking ahead to a real challenge and almost a crisis around people not being able to farm and produce food in the region. And so looking the stakeholders, so that would be people who really care about the future of farming and be able to have local food, as well as decision makers and planners and researchers sitting around the table and talking about solutions, about how could we address this challenge that was before us, and actually well-documented challenge that access to land is the number one barrier for folks getting into farming. What were the range of options that we could look at to address that? And of course, there's a lot of strategies in place already, and that is, you know, whether that's leasing land from people who own land to the development of community farms, so that there's a range of different community farms in the region, that Halliburton Farm being one of the longest standing examples, really positive examples in our region, that Saanich owned the piece of land and provides it for, I think it might be $1 a year lease out to the society that runs it. And they have plots of land for farmers to come and farm, and well as they do a lot of learning and teaching between the farmers there and co-marketing together. So when the different options were being discussed and the pros and cons, we knew that, you know, security of tenure is very important for a farmer to be able to come on to a piece of land, get to know that piece of land, make improvements to that piece of land through, you know, amending soils and dealing with drainage, putting up fencing, putting up greenhouses. All of that takes a financial investment, and without a long-term lease or agreement for the use of that land, which usually is not the case when you're leasing a piece of land from a private landholder, there was a lack of investment in that farm infrastructure as well, and then also real implications for the viability of farms on leased land. So we wanted to look at what would provide longer term solutions. And we took, SCR Fair undertook a study with support from the Real Estate Foundation. And we had some great expertise provided to us by the University of Victoria, Deb Kern and the Environmental Law Center and others, to look at what were the models across North America that we might look at to a land access. And we really landed on the idea of a farmlands trust, as it looks a little different in different places, but where people could be able to have land that was suitable for food growing, be put into a land trust and then managed, and have it this land be accessible to new farmers and to programs for supporting food growing. So it might also be community food growing for food forests, as well as teaching and learning programs. And so that we discuss the options, the emergence of a local government owned food and farmlands trust became part of the investigation. And we wanted to look at things that were going to be the first stages is really to look at land that government already had in its holdings that were suitable for agriculture. And so the land acquisition cost wouldn't be part of starting up a new farmlands trust. And so the evolution of it started by consulting with the different municipalities about their interest. And Saanich was very keen on this direction. They had a strong language in their strategic plan. They wanted to increase the amount of agriculture production and land available in Saanich for their long-term food security goals. And during that time, they also did their food and agriculture strategy, which also pointed to looking at solutions around the Foodlands Trust. So it was taken forward first at Saanich and discussed at other municipal tables, and the interest was to take it forward as a regional program. And it currently is in development at the CRD, and Kwantlen Polytech is undertaking a business case study to determine what the costs and benefits would be and how it would be managed and run. And it's looking at land that the municipalities have put forward as possible contributions to the Foodland Trust in order to have something tangible to base the study on. So that's where we are right now with the evolution of the Foodlands Trust.
And so concurrent to all this process, coming up with the concept and its development, Saanich acquires Panama Flats, and it becomes really kind of the obvious choice for Saanich to contribute a significant plot of land that had been used for farming over the course of the last century. And so there was a lot of optimism around using Panama Flats as one of the initial contributions to a food and farmlands trust. But of course, throughout that process, and Saanich had a protracted back and forth with the Agricultural Land Commission over adding the balance of the property into the land reserve. To be clear, a significant portion of Panama Flats is already part of the Agricultural Land Reserve, but for various reasons, there was a protracted discussion about consuming a larger portion as part of the Agricultural Land Reserve. And in the intervening period, there's been, I would say, a significant shift in the perspective on how that land should be used, to the point where residents in the area were calling for largely the land to be preserved as wetland, a diminished role, I think, for farming, and certainly some concerns around the land being transferred to a farmland trust. I think out of the fear that there would be potential conflict that then couldn't be managed. Similarly, you know, as we've seen in the past with right to farm legislation, meaning that the municipality has very little control over some of the farm practices, and that has led to conflict with neighbors. So all of that by way of background to describe the situation that we arrived at in a recent council meeting, in which council had to make a choice and give direction to staff about the future use of the property. So I'm curious, I heard your comments at council, and I would love to hear your perspective on what you would like to have seen council do with the property.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think I want to start off by making it clear that we really share the concerns that are being raised by the neighbors and the community associations. Panama Flats is a really special piece of land. It has so many positive values and services that it provides. Just the ecosystem values alone, as the wetland, as well as the water, the stormwater management and the floodplain function, the health of the Colquitts is so important. And in addition, all of the walking trails and the recreational benefits, people out there skating in the wintertime. I lived on Marigold a few streets away for many years and really enjoyed the flats and have watched it over the years change and the birds flourish. And so we really do, I think, when we're talking about farming, the flats, the last thing we want to do is impinge on those values. Absolutely. And we need to be finding ways where we can practice, sensible farming, responsible farming. So that's really taking an agroecological approach. And, you know, we don't want to be farming on top of those wetlands. We need to be looking at the margins more of the flats, and look, there's some areas that were really actually negatively impacted by the previous farming practices as well, that there's a lot of restoration work that needs to happen. And the 2013 concept plan, nobody likes that plan. Let's just be clear, nobody likes that plan, just in terms of the engineering department at Saanich to the neighbors. I also think that the folks who are advocating to have access to that land for farming want more of a small plot agroecological approach, which would see less than 5 acres of that whole property potentially be suitable for that, where it would look at the lands more towards Roy Road and Kerry Road area along the margins that could be brought for community gardens. Oh gosh, the pandemic saw so many people gardening this past year, and over, we ran a Growing Together program, and 50% of the people who were involved in that program, thousands of people across the region, were gardening for the first time. And more, I think, as our lifestyles are going to change over the next little while due to the pandemic, we'll be looking for that. So raised beds on some of that really disturbed land. I've walked it many times. There's big chunks of concrete in it, and along Kerry Road, that land could be brought into production for, community gardens that are getting the community on the land. And then very small plots, sort of along the scale of Halliburton Farm. They offer like half acre plots to their growers mainly. And we know that this is a viable form of learning about farming and moving into developing a viable business. Many of the farmers who have farmed at Halliburton, they were also able to graduate to other farms to be able to develop their business and then graduate to other farms where they had the experience and the business acumen and the business relationships already to make those farms valuable and viable. And one of the things that we do know is that the Sandown Farm started their farmpreneur program this past year. They had 29 applicants for spots on Sandown, looking at using agroecological growing practices, regenerative agriculture practices. And that's working with the natural systems and land and waters. And they had 9 spots. So there's still 20 farmers that have the potential to farm this year that will not have that opportunity because they don't have access to that land. We need more of these opportunities. So the 2013 plan, it really needs a relook. And we at council last night, they talked about a community check-in. I think the key stakeholders need to get together and talk about the opportunities there, talk about what we see in common. I don't think we're far apart in terms of what we'd like to see for the flats. And actually, I just want to point out that Sierra Fair did a study looking at Panama flats, and this would have been back in, I'm going to say 2011, that looked at how Panama flats could be looked at as an agricultural park. It's a model that's in the being utilized in the United States. And this is where parks that have all of those aspirations for protecting land and supporting ecosystem health, also providing recreational values through pathways, are also being coupled with food growing and teaching and learning, as well as supporting new entrants. And this is a and we looked at Panama Flats for this model and made suggestions towards that. I'd like to see us go back towards that vision and have a look at that and talk to the community around how this might be more in line with what they'd like to see happening there.
I agree with you, Linda, that I think that that is definitely a viable and desired future direction for the use of the flats. Mm-hmm. And I know that part of this check-in process explicitly called on staff to include CR Fair and other those with agricultural expertise to be part mm-hmm. of that process. So I'm looking forward to a discussion that will see all of those elements included there. What's your take on how things might progress from here?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think that's the way forward. I really liked Councillor Rebecca Morisseau's suggestion to go back and look at other Saanich properties as well. I think there's over 30 properties that have been named and rated for their suitability and to be forwarded to the Foodlands Trust. And so I think that we should be looking at the range of options and what the best uses are and the highest uses are for these different lands. And the Foodlands Trust is something that I think there is some fear around the management of these properties in the Foodlands Trust. But I think something that might not be well understood is that each of the municipalities has the option to designate specifics around the how they want those lands managed, what they want them used for. So it might be they want straight long-term leases to farmers to farm. They may want to have the property used more as a teaching and learning site. They may want specific requirements around whether it's farmed organically. They can stipulate all of these things in the management practices that they want to see happen on those lands. And so I don't think I share some of the fears that people have expressed in terms of that because it won't be held by Saanich, that it won't be managed to how Saanich residents would like to see it managed. I just want to remind people that there is expertise that is needed in managing these lands, and by having and accessing the best expertise at a regional level across the lands, we can use many so the Salt Spring Island Farmland Trust and the Burgoyne Valley Farm is a really good example of where they are managing a piece of really incredible land with wetland values and doing that in a way that's creating viable farms and protecting the land. And so we would be able to center that expertise into a regional foodlands trust and bring the best, you know, approaches forward. And Saanich currently, like on its staff and in its may not have that expertise. I know that this is a new area for them. And in the past, for example, with Halliburton, they've actually are working with a society that's managing that property and that land. They're not managing it. So it's just something that I do believe we need to look at the range of land options in Saanich and the different suitable approaches on each of those lands. It will be different with each piece of property. And really also reach out and listen to the community about what they like to see, knowing that they're all eaters and they also want access to fresh, healthy, local food. And, you know, that's the way forward. So I think that we can come up with some really win-win options, and I'm happy to see it go forward for further discussion.
Linda Gege is Executive Director of the Capital Region Food and Agricultural Initiatives Roundtable. Linda, thank you so much for the chance to check in, and I appreciate the benefit of your expertise as we consider Panama Flats and a number of potential properties that will go into food production to serve the residents of this region.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dean.
Now I'm going to bring in Hollis Hodson. She is the president of the Residents Association of Strawberry Vale, Marigold, and Glanford. Boy, that's a mouthful. Hollis, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you for having me. It's great.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I look forward to the benefit of your perspective. So we've been chatting with Linda Gege and talking about Panama Flats and within the context of food and agriculture within the capital region, and some of the historical thinking around the use of Panama Flats. You represent the residents in the area, and you can speak to the perspectives of those folks who live around Panama Flats. And for those who haven't been out there, it is surrounded in almost in its entirety by homes that people live in the area and look directly onto Panama Flats. So there is not just a perceived, but the potential for very real impact of any kind of use on that property for those who live in the neighborhood.
Yes, one perspective for a number of people that live there is they say we have lakefront property for, you know, the majority of the year. So it is a treasure, and we're really blessed to have it in the heart of our community. I mean, you could walk on the flats, and as the call one caller said last night, you could be anywhere out in nature because you don't hear the traffic. It's completely isolated the way it is. So it's a real gem, and it's really treasured by the community. So really pleased with, you know, council, what the outcomes of council last night, because it's really spoken to the fact that they've listened to the community and what their desires are. They, and in a lot of ways, although there's a shift between what happened with the concept plan then and now, which I know we'll talk about, there are trends within the community that have remained for Panama Flats as far as its use goes.
What I thought we might start with is sort of the shift in perspective, or maybe more clearly, the evidence-informed viewpoint of the residents in the area. From the time that Saanich purchased the land way back now, almost 10 years ago in 2011, and where we find ourselves today. And I know when the land was purchased, it was done so with the intent of using the land for floodplain purposes, that it would serve as a potential wetland. But there was always this idea that it would have some element of food production. And so why don't we start there? From the time that the purchase was made and the announcement came out about its potential use to where we are now 10 years later, and the viewpoint that residents have about the role that Panama Flats plays in their community?
Great question. So Panama Flats was acquired under a different council. We have two council members that actually were present on council at the time it was acquired. It was under Mayor Leonard at the time. And that acquisition had a number of reasons behind it, primarily for public use space. And also, I think the three orders were public use space, stormwater management, and natural environment. And that is really important. I want to challenge the term food production, because I think for some people that's kind of a loaded description. I think what is more accurate is in his statements, he had talked about the potential for allotment gardens, which some other people might know as community gardens. So there was always a public use was the primary reason for acquiring that land, and the fact that there could be stormwater management. I think some of the diversion into the pursuit of putting lands into the ALR, where it starts to trend more towards farming really arose out of the fact that it had just been farmed for a number of years, right? And we know that it's evolved over, what did the lady say last year? Millions of years. It was a natural wetland. It's always been a wetland. There's been floodplains down there. And then as we do as human beings, you know, we acquire lands, we farm it, we grow, and that sort of shifted it. But the challenges I think that some don't realize is that the farming endeavors for the last two goes really weren't successful. And there's a number of reasons for that. One is, and I want to qualify that as large-scale farming of the areas that are currently described as wetlands. Those outlying areas really haven't been farmed as much. But in the context of the primary area in question, those areas were farmed and tilled. And what's happened is, as global warming has occurred and we've experienced climate change and storms and more water, the water table rose. And then with that, our lovely Canada geese, you know, these are all factors that affect trying to farm that land. And ultimately, farming is a business, and it needs to be economically viable. And it just has, it hasn't been economically viable, you know, for many, many years. And in fact, when the land was sold, I believe the owner of the Cranberry Farm was quoted as saying, had he known how challenging it was going to be to farm on the flats, he actually wouldn't have purchased the land in the first place. So I think that's a really important statement to understand under the context of traditional farming. So that's where that kind of came out of, okay, well, maybe there's a different view or way to look at it. But I think for those of us that were involved in the public consultation in the early stages of the concept plan, I think it's fair to say that we were a little surprised that there was kind of a shift at the end and a push towards the ALR, because that kind of came up like, okay, well, where did that increase come from? And you heard council address last night that that's actually part of the reason that the plan stalled, is because there was the push towards ALR, which then translated into, well, until we get it into ALR, we can't move forward with the concept plan. I had a slightly different, and I think a number of people in the community had a slightly different perspective, that it was like, check out the ALR, and if it isn't, you know, going to work in the ALR, then let's move on to alternate views. So within that time period, two things have happened. One, nature has done a bunch of work, as she does, and she's reclaimed and restored that land, and at no expense to Saanich, really claimed it back. And now we see everything from bird watchers to restoration. There are endangered species in the waterfall category, as well as insect, the riparians come back. And I think the thing is, we tend to focus on the wetlands, but it's really important to point out that there's multiple ecosystems down there. There's a riparian all along the river. There's the Gary Oak that's down there. And we also have the huge biological areas and other animals that are coming out of it, with waterfowl and shorebirds coming back. So that's a real shift on the land, because if we were looking at it 10 years ago, we could say, well, it's still got some of the land sitting in just post-farm status, but that's not the case anymore. So there would be a lot of work to be done for farming to come back on that part. And now, of course, the other thing that's happened is the shift towards doing preservation of biodiverse areas, wetlands. All quite big shifts from when the land was originally acquired. So again, I think the community's perception of farming remains around allotment gardens. So the second thing is structure. So structurally, this concept has emerged of the Farmland Trust. Okay, and I think the words, when we look at the documents out of Saanich, it's a potential farmland trust, which is a CRD initiative. So similar to ALR, which would be then, you know, the province managing and making decisions about the land, the CRD would. So there are no issues with the farmland trust, but do have issues with the farmland trust honing in on Panama Flats And I think that's probably shared by everybody that it's not necessarily the best. There is a different conversation around the Farmland Trust. I'm not sure that's a conversation that we have to have now, but there's many different Farmland Trust models that could be incorporated. Right now, I believe the one on the table is leasing. But again, I want to bring us back to the issue isn't, and the conversation today isn't about a farmland trust. It's about the establishment of a farmland trust on Panama Flats, which is not supported by the community. And those are two very different conversations.
So in council's decision, we saw them close the door on the Agricultural Land Commission process. So there'll be no further application to the ALC for inclusion of additional parts of the land into the ALR. The motion also sent staff back to check in with community and included CR Fair and other agricultural groups as part of that consultation process to, in effect, check in on that 2013 concept plan. And I think reprise some of the earlier discussions about that potential use. So I'd love to hear from your perspective where you think those conversations may go and what that might mean for the potential use of the property to serve as more than just the wetland preserve, which I think council definitely supported in their discussion last night, but to have some potential for growing, for the use of some kind of food production, and to incorporate the recreational use, perimeter trail. People talked about skating on the flats when it freezes. I'd love to hear your thoughts on where things may go from here based on that check-in.
So that's great. That's a great question as well. So I think what I would do is kind of draw our attention just casually to the two surveys that were done. One was in 2013, and then we reposted the same survey on our website to collect information from people to see, hey, has the view of the community changed? So again, one of the views was farming was always very high on the community's list of priorities for Panama Flats. But in fact, when we look at the 2013 survey, 87% of respondents actually still wanted to protect the natural environment, and farming came in around 35%. And we didn't trend very far away from that. When we look at 2020, we see now 91%, not surprisingly, right, that would go up a little bit, are in support of the natural environment, and 21% remain at farming. But again, I really want to also defend farming a bit, because the term farming, by definition, you could probably ask 10 people and you might get 10 different answers, right? Some people might think of that only around, you know, livestock farming. Other people might think of that around growing traditional crops. And then we get into, I hope I have this term correct that I heard last night, the agroecological farming. Well, this is like a huge departure from traditional farming and something I'm fascinated to learn more about, because that then says we're now going to land that's there. So the question becomes, when you look at some of the areas that are north in Panama Flats, again, is there an opportunity for allotment gardens, or as was brought up by, I can't recall, there was somebody suggested apiary as a potential. And, you know, we had a brief instant to connect with Linda before this. And as we both said, putting even an apiary for pollinating bees or worker bees would be a fascinating endeavor, because it would support the flats as well as the surrounding communities. And a lot of people do have a lot of gardens, and they sort of do neighborhood little co-op's probably too strong a word, but where you trade food, you know, each of you grow one thing in your beds. I certainly know we do that on our street. And so there's lots of opportunities, and people are exploring different aspects. And I think, you know, that's another direction that we could go in. The second thing that came out of the survey was recreation. Again, a word that is very broad, has very broad strokes, but when we unpack it, we see that recreation actually means really focusing on the walking trails, which were in the original concept plan. The question now would be, given that the lay of the land has changed a bit because of nature, would the paths that were originally proposed be altered? I mean, I think everyone agrees we want a full ring road around in the community, that's something the community has expressed to make it holistic. But at the same time, if we're committed to protecting the ecosystems that are down there, we also might want to have those trails look slightly different. So, you know, like Rickard's Bog, do we want to raise some of, I don't know that, that's for Saanich Parks and engineering to figure out, but we probably need some way to address that and to make sure that we're directing people to walk and have that recreational activity without harming the natural environment. So again, a lot of the same considerations that one would have around, you know, quote unquote farming exist for recreation. And then interestingly enough, you know, stormwater and floodplain management, this is an interesting one as well, sort of comes in around the 38%, 46% on the original one. And we need to acknowledge that that is stormwater, like that is the stormwater management plan right now for this area. So unless the municipality Saanich is wanting to invest what seems to be millions of dollars to pump and do, I think everybody agrees that's not a realistic thing to do. So it makes more sense to preserve the land. And again, I was really pleased to see that council inquired around the zoning because that's important too. There are other ways to protect the land. And I wanna say that I do believe that those that were putting it in the ALR were really looking at a way to protect the land, and that there perhaps weren't the same number of vehicles for making that happen. And now it's like, well, actually we can use zoning, the, you know, the municipality can use zoning to accomplish that. So I'm pretty happy that they're exploring, you know, they've directed staff to explore that option too. Because I think the lands can be protected in that fashion.
I'm very optimistic about where things are now as a result of the direction that council has given. And I can see your enthusiasm for it as well. And I also, while it represents a change, I think for Linda and CR Fair, I think that there's a lot of optimism on their part as well about the potential points of confluence where there is agreement on the various perspectives and how that may all come together to serve the benefit of area residents, both human and wildlife, and the folks who would benefit from the recreational use and the potential for some small scale food production there as well. So I guess as a starting point, it sounds to me like the Farmland Trust is a non-starter from the community association's perspective. And while council didn't explicitly say it in its direction last night, the sentiment from members of council in their comments seemed to suggest that they too didn't feel that a farmland trust was going to work in this location. So just kind of check in on that point, and then we can maybe have a quick discussion about some of the other elements where we do see the potential for agreement on the future use.
Yes, so that's my understanding as well. And I think that should be really exciting for the farming community, CR Fair in particular, because what it's gonna do is bring up a number of, in my understanding, a number of other smaller lots. And again, we're kind of cart before the horse, but my vision is that what will happen is staff will go back and they will find innumerable smaller plots that from previous council meetings that I attended where some farmers spoke, some of the new age farmers, you know, they really wanted those smaller plots that are economically viable, accessible, don't come with the restrictions around growth for the year. I mean, we had a particularly warm year this year, and there, I know our garden was, you know, had things that lasted much longer, both in plant and food. And if we're going to see potentially that trend, then we want to make available other lots of lands that are more suitable, cost effective, and don't have any conflicts with the surrounding community as well. And perhaps conflict is too strong a word, but, you know, that don't have the challenges that might exist on Panama Flats. And again, one of the things that I think is important to say is there are housing initiatives going on, and there are trends in doing densification and infill on lots. So what that means is we are now trending from larger lots with single homes on them to smaller lots with more than one home. Certainly in our area, it's typically a double lot trending to three. But with that, there's the loss of the ability to grow a lot of food. And that is one of the things when you sort of drive around, you'll see a lot of people growing a lot of their food. They have these huge garden beds, raised or not, that they're getting food from. So there needs to be an area to allow people that, like public use, again, it fits in with priority one, public use, and Panama Flats might have that. And I think that's why the community has mentioned community gardens, what we see as allotment gardens, as number one. Having said that, I think there's an opportunity to meet, and I really look forward to connecting and learning more about what other options could be there on parts of the land that grow, whether it's an apiary or it's a small area that's farm. But I think we need to just understand that it's questionable whether the community has an appetite for a small few benefiting where a many could benefit and the full community could be served. I think that's what we're going to have to explore when the new concept plan is looked at with regards to any kind of food growing activities or farm style activities on part of the flats that might be eligible for that. And again, there's still, when we heard last night, there's still access issues around that. Like, are we then building the roads to do that? Or is there a way to have things that just work naturally with the environment? And again, I think next steps for the Residents Association, myself included, would be to get educated on what those options might be. Because we might be able to trend and support something that we don't know is there right now, right? So again, inclusive and collaboration is important.
It certainly sounds like there's more agreement than disagreement here. And it'll, of course, the devil's always in the details and we'll see the nuance in those discussions. But I feel very hopeful about the direction that we're headed in and where things might end up.
Well, I think the only thing that we haven't covered would just be an expression of thanks to council for listening and hearing the community. This is huge. This has been a decade. There have been trends and letters that have similarities from 10 years ago to now. And, you know, it's fabulous. And I think that the unanimous support from council was also like overwhelmingly wonderful. And I just cannot thank them enough for their support last night and for really hearing the concerns and redirecting staff to start to look through a different lens on Panama Flats, and in particular to, you know, move on to looking at revitalizing the concept plan. And thank you for providing me an opportunity to speak to that today. I really appreciate that too.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. Hollis Hodson is the president of the Residents Association of Strawberry Vale, Marigold, and Glanford. I have really appreciated the perspective that you bring. It's great to hear from you and the view of residents. And again, I think when we combine that with what we've heard from Linda, I really think there's a lot of common ground here. And I'm looking forward to how that might benefit everyone when it comes to the use of Panama Flats. This has been another episode of Amazing Places. I'm Dean Murdoch. Thanks for listening.